Amen. Thank you, Becky. Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Luke. Luke chapter number 7 is where we're going to be tonight. Luke chapter number 7. And we started a series on parables last night, and we're going to continue that here this evening with the first parable chronologically in Jesus' ministry. And that's in Luke chapter number 7, and verse 36 really is the whole story. And amen, there we go. She's getting going already. Luke 7 and verse number 36 is where we're going to get started. Luke 7 and verse number 36. Okay, and let's stand if we can. Give our legs a little bit of a stretch. And of course, with respect to the word, Luke 7 verse 36. We'll read through this whole passage through verse number 50. Okay, Luke 7 verse 36. Here's what it says. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with tears, did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee had bidden him, saw him, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for he is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor, this is the actual parable, there was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed him 500 pence, the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with her tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Let's ask the Lord's blessing as we examine this parable. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you. We thank you for this story. We thank you for the parable and for the principles that we're going to look at here tonight. Lord, I pray that you give us understanding, give us clarity. Help us, Father, to truly be thankful for what you've done and what you've forgiven us from. Lord, help us to learn from this parable. Help us to apply it truthfully and accurately into our hearts and to our lives. And we'll thank you for what you're going to do in all these things. In the name of Jesus, we pray them all. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Of course, we're going through and kind of studying parables, and we've explained what parables are last week, but let's see if anyone remembers. How would you define a parable? What is a parable? A little bit of a reminder. What is a parable? Tell the person next to you what a parable is, okay? Go. What's a parable? I heard somebody say what I define. What's a parable, folks? Talk to me. Earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Good. It's an illustration, right? Things fallen. It's an illustration with a heavenly meaning. Exactly. So that's what a parable is. Now, this is a very short parable, as we mentioned last time. Some parables are very short. Some parables are longer. But in this story, we see a lot that is going to be helpful as we examine it. Number one, the setting of the parable. What led up to this parable being actually shared? Well, you have in this scenario, you have a few different people, right? Number one, let's look at the place of the parable. Look at verse number 36, and we'll find that. Verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. Now, this is not an uncommon characteristic, not an uncommon situation that happens at all. As a matter of fact, it happens quite a bit. If you look back just a couple verses in verse number 34, people actually got upset at Jesus because he regularly went to spend time with people in their houses and things along that line. So this is not an uncommon place at all for Jesus to give the parable. So let's, number two, look at the people that are involved in this parable. Who are the two people? Well, we saw it. Of course, Jesus, but beyond Jesus, you have one, Simon, that's a Pharisee. We get his name Simon later on, but he's a Pharisee. What are Pharisees? If you know much about Pharisees, well, let me ask you, what's some things you know about Pharisees? Talk to me. What are some things you know about Pharisees? What is a Pharisee? What are some characteristics of Pharisees? Talk to me. What? Religious, sure. What else? What? They're experts in the law. They knew exactly what the Old Testament had to say. What else? That sums it up pretty well, but any other specifics? They were very proud of them keeping the law. Good. How was their view of people that didn't keep the law? Kind of negative, right? Not real good, okay? So you have Simon the Pharisee that asked Jesus into his house. Now, you know from later on, as you read through the Gospels, later on, Jesus and the Pharisees have a bit of a falling out, right? The Pharisees don't really like Jesus that much, but at this point, they're just curious. You got to remember, this is kind of the beginning of his ministry, so they're curious about Jesus. They want to know about Jesus. They want to know what's going on with this Jesus character, right? And so they're asking questions, and this Simon goes and says, hey, let's get him over to the house, then we can kind of figure out what's really going on. Simon the Pharisee, his character. He's a very religious person. The word Pharisee actually literally means a separate one. The font messed up, and it's very small, I know, okay? His character, he's religious. He's very separate. He would separate from anyone that he would consider sinful in that regard, okay? So he's a very religious person. What's his approach to Jesus? Well, if you read just verse 36, it looks like he's interested in Jesus, right? He wants to eat with him. He wants to spend time with him. Let's get down to verse number 39. Verse 39. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it. Saw what? Saw this woman, you know, worshiping Jesus. Verse 39. He spake within himself, saying, this man, what's the next word? If. Y'all with me, right? If he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. I would describe his approach to Jesus as curious. You've talked to a lot of people that are curious in the past, right? Maybe they want to know about Jesus, or they want to know about the Bible. They're not sure what the Bible actually says. They're not sure what the Bible's talking about. So their approach is really curious. That's his approach. He's curious. He wants to know what Jesus is like. He wants to know what's about Jesus. And I would say, even a little bit further, he's kind of doubtful, right? His approach, he's curious. Number one, Simon the Pharisee. Number two, we see the sinful woman. Now, this is all setting up for the parable. See the sinful woman. We don't know a lot about this woman. We don't know what her sin was. You could guess, and a lot of people have, and frankly, it doesn't say, so I don't think it's important. Now, let me say real quick, this is not Mary. Mary later on does something very similar to this, but she does it right before his death, okay? If you remember John 12 and 13, okay? So she does it right before his death. This is a totally different woman. This is at the beginning of his ministry, and this is a woman that clearly was a sinner, and for some reason, she decides to come to Jesus, and she decides to worship Jesus. What's her character? Very simply, she's a sinner, verse 37. Everybody knew that she was a sinner. That's the description that Luke gives in this passage, that she was a sinner. Later on, the Pharisee says what manner of woman this is because she's a sinner. So very clearly, her character, she was a sinner. This, by the way, let me take it a step further. We're all sinners, right? So I'm not saying that she's a sinner any more than anyone else, but what I am saying is that she was known for being a sinner. You understand? Okay? You have religious person on one hand, yes? You have sinful person on the other hand. The Pharisee, he's known for being religious, right? Sinful woman, known for being sinful. Y'all with me so far, yes? What's their approach? Pharisees, curious about Jesus. He wants to know a little bit more about Jesus. What's the woman's approach? Verse 37. And behold, that word behold, when you see it, means look, pay attention to this. That's literally what he's saying. He's saying, and catch this, pay attention to this, verse 37. A woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment. No doubt this woman knew she was going to get mocked, ridiculed by the Pharisee. She didn't care. She decided to come, verse 38, and stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself. This woman was overcome with emotion. The ointment that's described here is something that all women would keep. Most of the time they would keep it for their wedding, for that wedding night, their honeymoon, I guess you could say. It was something that they were given at a young age and something that they would store and keep with them in preparation for something special. This woman decided to give what was valuable and gave it to Jesus. She was going and she was showing her thankfulness and showing her love by washing Jesus' dirty feet. Back in Bible times, they wouldn't wear closed shoes like I would wear. They'd wear sandals, open sandals. On the roads, there would be animals that would walk there. If you've ever watched a parade and seen horses, you know what I'm talking about. This is not a clean thing that she's doing. No, certainly not. You can imagine as they're sitting there and they're eating the meal, this woman wiping her hair with all the filth that was on Jesus' feet. You can picture this whole scenario. The setting, place, the people, perception. Verse 39, and this is the verse that really leads directly into the parable itself. Verse 39. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, which invited him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. Let me ask you, okay? What is the main problem? What's the main concern of the Pharisee? Tell the person next to you, what's the concern that the Pharisee has with this woman? Okay? That's significant because that's going to determine what we're talking about with the parable. Why is he so upset? What's he concerned about with this woman? Go, tell the person next to you. Go.
What it looks like. His status.
What it looks like. His status. What else? What's he concerned about?
His pride.
His pride. You know, hey, I had this nice meal. Sure. Anything else? Jesus, he's concerned about who Jesus is, right? Because he should know how she is. I think it goes a step further. I think he just doesn't want the woman around. When the day's done, he doesn't really care for the woman and he doesn't value the woman. Does that make sense? He doesn't value her because, well, I'm better than her, right? I don't do the things that she does, so I'm better. I'm at a higher level. She shouldn't even be in here, Jesus. Why are you letting her do this? I'm better than she is, and we're all better than she is. You all with me here, right? What's the perception? I put down two things. I think those comments that were mostly made by David. We're good.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Number one, her access to Jesus. She was concerned. Look at verse number 39. The manner of a woman that touches him. She's concerned because here he is. He thought he was really something because he has Jesus over at his house. And guess what? This lady's upstaging him, right? Now, imagine if you had some nice dinner, okay? And you're having somebody that's really important over for dinner, okay? You picturing it? You're having this nice fancy dinner. You're having someone really important over for dinner. And then some lady shows up and this really important person that you're trying to entertain, this lady shows up and starts washing, put yourself in the story, starts washing the person's feet
with their hair while you're trying to do a fancy dinner. Right? He's gone. The Pharisee's like, this isn't right. Right?
Her access, number one. Number two, her value.
She's a sinner. She doesn't deserve to be there. She doesn't deserve to be with Jesus. And so because of this, Jesus gives the parable. And we heard the parable. You read it a little bit earlier. Number one, the setting of the parable. Number two, the explanation of the parable. What's this mean? Okay, the explanation. There are two debtors, okay? This is called the parable of the two debtors. And there are two debtors. Debtor number one, okay? Debtor number one owes how much, folks? Good, 500. Okay, 500 pence. Does anyone know what a pence is? Not Mike Pence. Different Pence. Anyone know what a pence is? Bible describes it. I gave you the reference there. A pence was one day's wage. Okay, so it's how much an average worker would make in a day. Okay, math. If you're curious about the reference, Matthew 20 and verse number 2. Okay, so it's what one person would make in a given day. So 500, small amount, big amount? Big amount, right? I went and looked at the math, and according to averages, the average is 25 hours, okay, $25 per hour in the United States. Okay, that's the average income. Okay, I don't make average, apparently. $25 per hour in the U.S., okay? Multiply that by 8, that's how much you get a day, that's $200, okay? Multiply 200 by 500, and you come up with what? 100,000, okay? So that's going to be our working number, right? Y'all with me so far, yes? Right around, good. You have debtor number one. Now you have debtor number two. How much does he owe? He owes 50 pence. Good. 50 times 200 equals what? 10,000. Good. You all with me so far? Yes? Right, Rael? Yes. So here's the point. Two debtors. They both owe decent amounts, correct? Would you want to owe $10,000? Yes or no? Would you want to owe $100,000? Yes or no? Definitely not, right? I don't want to owe either one, right? Neither one of them could pay. Look at it. Back in verse number 42. And when they had nothing to pay, that is, they can't pay their debt on their own. When they had nothing to pay, he frankly or just simply forgave them both. Okay? So, $100,000. Can he pay, yes or no? No. Y'all with me? Yes? Can he pay, yes or no?
No.
Good. $10,000. Can he pay, yes or no?
No.
Now, that is not up for debate, okay? We're taking, by the way, $100,000, representing that as sin. You have a lot of sin you got to pay. You have a decent amount of sin you got to pay. You all with me here? Neither one can be paid on its own, right? You have to understand that to begin with. Now, Jesus asked an interesting question. Look at it. Next verse, verse number 42. And when he had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Now, that's an interesting question. Let's just say, let's put ourselves into this scenario. Let's say, let's get two, can we get two examples? Joshua, come on up. And let's see. Connor, come on up. Oh, you working on something? Oh, there you go. He's taking notes. Sorry. Sorry to interrupt you taking notes. He's either taking notes or playing a video game back there. I couldn't tell. All right. Good. All right. So let's say, Joshua, let's say you owe me $10,000. Cool, huh? Let's say you owe me $100,000. Okay? Now, let's say I forgive you $10,000, I forgive you $100,000. Now, which one will love me more? Connor, but let me ask you, why would Joshua not love me just as much? You would think he would. What? Why would Joshua not love me as much as Connor? If Joshua was focusing on Connor. Mm-hmm. Am I making sense? If Joshua is focused on, well, You forgave Connor 100,000, you only forgave me 10,000. Come on. I should have had more debt because then you forgive me more.
Y'all with me here? Both should forgive, both should love just the same amount. Y'all with me here? Both should. But there is an expectation that this one had better love. Right? Y'all with me here? Yes? So Simon answers just like we would, verse 43. Well, I suppose the one that was forgiven the most. And Jesus goes into something that you got to remember this. Both should love, right? Amen. And both should love just as much because he couldn't pay his 10, just like he couldn't pay his 100, right? Both should love just as much, but as we see, that's not exactly how it works out. Thanks, guys. You can have a seat. Let's continue on the question, okay? The question, very simply asked, which one will love him most? Number one, the setting of the parable. Number two, the explanation of the parable. Number three, the lesson from the parable. What's the point of this parable? Why did Jesus give it? Jesus gave it very simply, and the words that you cannot read up there because they're microscopic, because the font changed on me, is a summary. It explores the link between forgiveness and love. Here's what it's saying, nice and simply, what this parable is saying. This parable is saying, number one, if you've been forgiven, then you should love. Right? Number two, what it's saying, if you don't love, then you don't know how much you've been forgiven. Making sense? Let's use the illustration of Joshua. If Joshua goes and he's, man, it's not fair. Why would he forgive 100,000? I didn't know that much. Then he doesn't know how much he's been forgiven. Correct? Right? If you've been forgiven, you should love. If you don't love, then you don't know how much you've been forgiven. Okay? That's very important to understand. Number one, the value of forgiveness. The value of forgiveness. A few lessons from this parable to take home today on a Wednesday, practically, that we can make it through the rest of the week. Number one, the value of forgiveness. Verses 44 through 46, Jesus goes and applies it to Simon. Look at it, verse 44. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I have entered thy house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. What's Jesus saying here? He's saying nice and simply, hey, she values it more, right? She values me more. Nice and simply, friends, let's make it real simple for us, okay? Let's quantify this, okay? The reality is we can see how much we value Christ by what we do for Christ, yes? Amen. Let me use this illustration, okay? Let's use Becky. I can say all day long, I love you, Becky. I care for you, Becky. I value you, Becky. Yes? But if I don't help Becky, if I don't love Becky, if I don't show that practically in my life, then there's going to come a point where Becky's like, well, does he? Y'all with me here. Right? Nice and simply, Christians, catch this. Here's what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, hey, you can say you love me all you want, but this woman here, she's showing it. Right? One person out of the two valued the forgiveness, the other person didn't. So much so that there were certain expectations in culture. There would be expectations that when you came into a house, someone would go and would wash the feet. And normally it would be a servant, but someone would go and wash the feet. Jesus says, you didn't do that. There would be expectations that you would go and you'd take care of the person. You'd help them out and you'd go and anoint their head and, you know, kind of take care of themselves. Put a little perfume because they didn't have deodorant and everybody stunk back then. Okay, yeah, you would go and you do that. But that didn't happen with Simon. Why? Because he didn't value forgiveness. Y'all with me here? Whereas the other woman did. Let's make some sense nice and simply. Let's get it down to brass tacks for us. Number one, have you been forgiven? If you've been forgiven, we sang about heaven, right? We sang about salvation. Can I ask you nice and simply, have you been forgiven? If you've been forgiven,
then you should value it. I think part of the reason why Simon didn't value it is because I don't think he was forgiven. Look at verse 47. It kind of hints toward that. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much. By the way, was she forgiven because she loved a lot? Yes or no?
No,
she wasn't forgiven because she loved a lot. She loved a lot because she was forgiven of a lot. Mm-hmm. Right? But continue on, verse 47. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Now let me ask you, could any person on earth be described as being forgiven of little? Yes or no? No. You all with me here? No. Think of the most perfect person you can imagine, okay? You picturing them? Okay? I know you are because you're looking at me. Thank you. No. Picture the most perfect person you can imagine, yes? Could that person be described in the sight of God, not the sight of others, the sight of God, could that person be described as a good person? Could that person be described as being forgiven? Oh, just a little bit. Yes or no? No. All of us are sinners, right? We all fall short. There's none righteous. No, not one. The Bible says that our sins are like filthy rags. The way I describe that is if you took a nice, clean, white cloth and you took it out to the dirt and you started scrubbing that dirt to get the dirt clean. Are you going to get the dirt clean? No, you're going to get your rag dirty. Our righteousness, the good things we do, they don't even come close to cleaning up all our filth in our lives.
Amen.
So the reality is nobody's been forgiven little unless they think they've been forgiven little. God got something when he got me. Oh, well, look at me. I don't do the things that they do. The only way you can say that you've been forgiven little is if you're focusing on other people, not God. And by the way, that's Pharisee Simon's problem, isn't it? But look at her. She's a sinner. I can't believe that woman. Why would you even let her around? Jesus, that's not right. Why? Because he's focused on her. He's not focused on Jesus.
Amen.
Get your eyes on Jesus, friends. Get your eyes on Jesus. Have you been forgiven? Then you should value forgiveness. Number two, and the reality of this passage is that if you're not valuing it properly, you need to be. The reality is, he goes, and the hope, I believe, and part of Jesus here, is to get this guy to realize, hey, wait a second. God has forgiven me of much. It may not be 100,000, but 10,000 that I couldn't pay, that's a lot. Y'all with me here? God's been good. He took care of me. He met my needs. He's loved me. He's reached out to me. Are you valuing forgiveness properly? I get very concerned when a Christian goes and says, well, I can't forgive them because they did this or they did that. Can I tell you, friend, if Christ could forgive you, you can forgive them. If Christ died for you, you can love them. And certainly, since Christ died for you, you can love him. Value of forgiveness I see in this passage. Number two, the value of the fallen. See, very interesting thing. Now, I've seen this so many times through ministry. This principle that Jesus gives that those that have been forgiven of much have a greater heart. By the way, let me be very clear. I've touched on it, but let me be very clear. Jesus is not saying in this passage, well, you need to go and sin a lot because then you'll have more grace. Y'all with me here? That's not what he's saying, okay? God's grace is enough for all of us, okay? But we don't sin, the grace abounds, okay? Romans 6 says that, right?
Amen.
Should we sin, the grace abounds? God forbid. How can we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? No. We don't sin more so that God's grace is more. No. But if we've been forgiven, right, then we should do something about it. And I found so many times that the people that you would think would never be good Christians are some of the best, right? The people that struggle with addiction and struggle with all kinds of different terrible, terrible sins are the ones that God goes and God picks and God uses. Corinthians talks about that, doesn't it? That God uses the base things to confound the wise. God uses the foolishness of the world to save souls. And the reality is, friends, there is a value in the fallen. Because this man here that goes and thinks he has it all, he realizes he doesn't have any of it. The value of forgiveness, the value of the fallen. See, Christ prays for this man, or for this woman rather. Verse number 44 through 45. She shows honor to Christ where this man doesn't. 44, you see, thou gavest no water for my feet. She washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss. That would be kind of like shaking hands in our culture. Something we don't do anymore. You didn't shake my hand. You didn't, you know, oh, welcome. Oh, I'm so glad. This woman hasn't ceased to kiss my feet. Verse 46, my head with oil thou didst not anoint. Oil would help for different hair issues. It would also help with sunburn, things along that line. You didn't anoint my hair with oil. This woman's anointed my feet. I see, number one, her honor of Christ. The man that thought he deserved it. The man that thought, oh, well, God got something when he got me. The man that was so focused on his works and how good he was didn't even honor and didn't even value Jesus Christ when he came to his door. I see here humility. Do you see the one word that shows up in verse 44, 45, and 46? What does Jesus do? He goes and he says, hey, she washed my feet. She kissed my feet. She anointed my feet. The humility that's found in this. We've mentioned it before, but only the lowest of the low of the servants would go and would wash feet. That was something most of us would never want to do. You wouldn't want to wash off disgusting feet. As a matter of fact, some of you might take shoes off before you come in the house. And you might go, and certainly if you've been working out at the barn, I used to work in barns, I used to shovel manure, my mom would not let me walk into the house, believe it or not. Why? Because nice and simply, that's something that's disgusting. But this woman's humility, she goes and does it. Why? Because she realizes that Jesus is so much greater than her. Can I remind you, friends, God has paid so much more than we could have ever paid. And whether you're debtor one or you're debtor two, can I say, he's forgiven us all of so much we need to love. We must love. It should never be in a Christian, oh, well, I'm better than this person because I didn't do what they did. There should never even sneak into your heart, oh, well, you know, look at them. Oh, we don't want them here. If you say that around me, I'm going to holy get in your face in a holy way. You all with me here? Christ died for all. And we need to love all and we need to care for all. If you get that kind of attitude, you've missed the gospel. Christ prays for this woman, Christ's perception. I find it interesting that this Simon, he went and he was focusing on what she was, what she had been. Look at verse 39. She's a sinner. What was Jesus' focus on? Verse number 47, to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And she said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. Verse 50, thy faith has saved thee, go in peace. Can I tell you, friends, it doesn't matter what you were. It doesn't matter how much Christ paid off. What matters is that he paid it off. Right? So love him. Serve him. Don't judge other people based on how much their debt was. Right? Don't judge other people based on how much their debt was. Yes, some people have a greater natural love for him. I got saved when I was 13. I grew up in a Christian home. I was in church all the time. Right? All the time. How many of you were that way? You grew up in a Christian home. You went to church all the time. Raise your hand nice and high. Went to church all the time. Good. About half thereabouts. Okay? Went to church all the time, knew church, knew all about church. Can I say, God forgave me just as much as he forgave many of you. You all with me here? So, one, I shouldn't be proud of what I've done. My boast is all in Christ. I couldn't pay any of my debt. and he paid it all. By the way, don't be ashamed. Oh, well, I don't have that great of a testimony. I got saved when I was 5 or 7 or 10 or 13. I don't have that great of a testimony. No, you do. Right? You do. I've heard so many Christians, oh, well, you know, I didn't get saved out of all these things, you know, so my testimony isn't important. No, it is. He forgave you. But number two, don't judge and don't look down on the people that went through those things, because God forgave them too. Love him and serve him with every bit of our hearts. Love him because he's forgiven, not based on how much he's forgiven. Make sense?
Amen.
I hope and pray it's a blessing and a help, okay? All right, let's pray. Let's ask the Lord's blessing in these things. And we'll have, we don't normally have a full invitation on a Wednesday night, but here's what I want to do. In this area, here's what I want us to do. Wants to go before the Lord, and real simply, real briefly, the next 30 seconds or so, I want us to go before the Lord, and I want us to thank him for saving us. Okay? I think it's an appropriate thing. I think it's something you need to do on a regular basis. I think it's something you need to do every day, truthfully. But certainly tonight, as we've looked at Christ forgiving us, Christ paying the debt that we could never pay, I think it's only appropriate for us to go before him and say, Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you. So right now, I'm going to be quiet for a little bit. I want you to go before the Lord, and I want you to thank him specifically for what he's done for you. Thank him for saving you. Thank him for keeping you. Thank him for the home you have in heaven. Thank him for delivering you from sin. And number two, if you've fallen into the trap of pride, well, I'm not as bad as they are, and confess it to the Lord. Say, Lord, we're all just debtors in your sight. Forgive me. Help me to treat myself and help me to treat others like just debtors that you forgave. Right now, in the quietness of this time, will you seek his face?